This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to another Pitt Panther Rant, another Sports Fans podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. Brought to you by The Sports Drink. And let's get into it. Well, folks, it's another Thursday. We got plenty of basketball, college hoops happening this weekend. We got the women's Final Four. It starts tomorrow. And, of course, Saturday we got the men's Final Four. But let's start with some Pitt talk. Bob Carrington had a press conference yesterday. I mean, we all saw the announcement, I guess, that was, you know, a press conference was going to happen. We weren't sure what it was. We made some jokes. I mentioned possibly a Jeff Capel extension. And some people had some other ideas. In the end, it was Bob Carrington declaring for the draft. And, you know, I saw the reaction with this. Some people were saying, did this really, you know, require a press conference? You know, could we have found, you know, better things to, you know, do with our time? But at the end of the day, this was more for recruiting purposes, as what, you know, some people pointed out. Because even I initially was like, did we need to have a press conference for this? Did we, you know, could we have just threw out the template, you know, I appreciate my time here, cite some Bible verses, and, you know, I looked at God the glory, and I'm going to, you know, announce for the draft, you know, or the transfer portal, you know, template as well, where I'm thankful for my time here, blah, 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 cite some Bible verses, I prayed on this, you know, God's going to take me down this path, and blah, 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 I'm moving on. You know, I mean, you know, Bob did eventually put something out, like a tweet. You know, for me, I mean, I'm happy for him. It's also bittersweet for me because we had him only for a year. We had Blake Hinson for one more year, and we didn't go anywhere. Yeah, we also won 20-plus games, and we went nowhere. And that's the shitty part about all this, is we had all these pieces in place, and we didn't make the NCAA tournament. But, you know, that's just life, I guess. And, you know, you can only, I mean, obviously, we've been, you know, yelling at the committee, we've been going after media people, and rightfully so, but at the same time, a lot of Pitt's issues this year were self-inflicted. They still don't have a big man in the paint, which is what they need. Excuse me, drinking my coffee here. You know, we still lack an inside presence, which was probably the difference in a lot of our games that we lost. You know, you can't lose to Missouri, you can't get swept by Syracuse, and you can't start 1-5 in ACC play. Pitt was pretty much going to have to play perfect to even get to the tournament. Maybe if they beat North Carolina in that tournament, they get in. At the same time, maybe if North Carolina doesn't lose, you know, to NC State in the finals, maybe Pitt gets in then. There's so many derivatives, I guess you can say, or scenarios, I guess, would be a better thing for this. And whatever happened, you know, whatever it is, Pitts just didn't, it just didn't happen this year. But now Pitt can turn their focus, which they, I'm sure they've been already, to the transfer portal. And there's plenty of available players out there that, you know, are moving on. And my hope is that for Bub, he has a really good career. I mean, supposedly he's going to be, you know, this isn't really a good class this year, and he can be a first-round pick. I'm hearing top 10, top 15, but so much can happen between now and then with the draft itself. I mean, look what happened to Justin Champagne. He was slated to be, you know, to be drafted, and he didn't get drafted. But he did recently sign a 2-year deal with the Wizards. So, you know, he's still playing. He's still in the pros. And he's only 22 years old, which, you know, I forgot how young he really was when he left. I mean, he was 20 when he declared for the draft. He may have just turned 20, I think. So he's been gone for only 2 years. I mean, the guy's only 22 years old. He's got plenty of basketball left. I mean, there was also Lamar Patterson. Lamar was drafted, you know, almost 10 years ago. And I think he got drafted second round. He did well in the summer league before, you know, the NBA season started. Not much else happened to him after that. And of course, he's been bouncing around overseas. I mean, the guy's still at, he's still earning a check, so, you know, at least he's still playing. Let's see, Brad Wanamaker, you know, he spent some time in the pros as well. In fact, is he still, let me see here, is he still playing actually? Let me pull that up real quick and see. Brad Wanamaker. Well, Brad's 34 now, so I can't, you know. Well, last I looked, he was playing for the Wizards, and that was 2021, 2022, so I don't know, maybe his career's over. But, you know, he had at least a cup of coffee in the pros. So, yeah, I don't know where else it goes from there. I mean, Pitt's supposed to have been ramping up their NIL efforts. I did see something on the message boards. I guess Tori Verde, the women's coach, sent an email to donors about the NIL and about supporting women's basketball. Yeah, if there's one guy that really needs support more than anything, it's him. Because he's got a very tall assignment to do, you know, to revamp that program around. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I was going to say, you know, pick up, you know, if you can set aside a couple mil for the women's program and like buy some players, you can probably turn that around pretty easily. But I would say the market for women's players has gone up drastically, you know, in recent times. So that's probably going to be a hard thing to do, because other programs, other, you know, they got the money. If anything, they got more money than us. Which leads me to the next thing. I did see the article about the Super League supposedly coming to fruition. I'm not sure how that's going to work. I mean, a lot of these leagues, you know, these conferences just, you know, re-up their deals with the networks. So, I don't know if, I don't see it happening anytime soon. And of course, every year, it seems like there's always going to be a Super League. And I saw, you know, the initial format is going to be 80 teams, which I can see happening. Well, maybe not. Eight teams seems a bit too much. I think if anything, it's going to be between 40 and 50. Personally, I would like if the power programs from the Big Ten and SEC just form their own league and move on, take whoever, and we can just move on with our collective lives. Which makes me wonder about Notre Dame. Do they stay independent? Because if they join the Super League, they're going to have to join a division. You know, so you wonder how that works out. You know, I know some people, I mentioned that, and some people mentioned that, you know, if they had their way, they would slam the door shut on Notre Dame. You know, they can stay independent, stay on the Super League, and they can schedule Army, Navy, and Stanford, or whoever gets left out. Could Pitt get left out? It's a possibility. I made the joke that nobody seemed to like, that where if Pitt gets left out of the Super League, they can move their home games to the Pete. We can revamp the Pete into a football, basketball type scenario. Maybe 14,000 seats. Because I think once Pitt gets left out of that Super League, the interest for Pitt football is going to just drop drastically. And there's really no sense of keeping them at Hines. Well, I think it'd be easier to keep yourself at Hines and align yourself with the Steelers. Oh, I'm sorry, it's AccraShore now. Yeah. I can see that happening. We'll keep the games there, but it may never happen. I mean, the ACC right now is trying to keep your league together, despite the lawsuits between Florida State and Clemson, as they're trying to get out. Or they're trying to make, in reality, they're trying to make more money to keep up with the Joneses, and they just feel that the current deal with the ACC, you know, just isn't, you know, just isn't worthwhile right now. And, of course, the perception has been pretty, you know, ACC has taken a perception hit as of recently, not just in football, but in basketball as well. Football was eventually going to happen when Clemson started the fade. I mean, FSU had a really good year, but, of course, they got left out because, well, nobody's going to want to see a matchup between, you know, FSU and Bama where FSU is playing their second or third string quarterback. And that's pretty much why they got left out. Although they met all the criteria, they did all the work, but in the end, you know, the committee said, well, we're going elsewhere. But as far as the, you know, I mean, of course, ACC added Stanford, Cal, and SMU to soften the blow a little bit. And the reason why they did that was because more teams try to leave. It weakens the grain of rights, which is still being challenged, weakens the conference. I mean, if you lose Clemson, FSU, that's two big programs there. And, of course, that's going to devalue your contract. You know, North Carolina was supposedly once out as well. And that definitely, in terms of basketball and everything else, definitely weakens, you know, everything. You know, there's not going to be as much money made. And I guess, you know, a merger probably between the ACC and the Big 12 probably happens, but we won't know for a long time. I mean, the Pac-2 or whatever is still alive somewhat. I'm just shocked that it's dead, because I didn't think that they would let that conference die like it did, but it just happened. It's just the people who led that conference, the leadership, you know, they overplayed their hand in some cases. And maybe that streaming deal for Apple TV does work out. That's the future. Because almost everywhere you go, depending on where, you know, what you have, you're always having to go to a streaming service to watch a game. I just had that issue with Sling TV this past, you know, season. I try to do the free streams, but I got tired of the the game's freezing up, and, you know, I broke down and spent the money for, you know, I tried Sling. Sling, I at least got ESPN. And I think I got Fox as well, but, like, if you want to watch certain games, I had to, you know, if I had to watch certain games, I had to go to Prime TV, you know, or to Prime or whatever, and I had to go to freaking Peacock and Lord knows whatever other application. Paramount Plus, it got to be annoying as hell. And, you know, that's where, you know, that's, you know, NFL has definitely been going to these apps, and I'm sure, you know, it could have worked for the Pac-12. But they weren't really, but most of those programs weren't willing to see that through. You know, Colorado jumped. Then, of course, the Arizona schools jumped. And, of course, Oregon and Washington jumped. They went to the Big Ten, and they're taking reduced shares. And that's another thing is these other programs may leave the ACC, but is it really going to be worth it in the long run? Because those other conferences may say, hey, we'll let you in, but you got to take, we're not giving you the full allotment. And I think the whole tier of money allotment is going to start happening if it hasn't already, where the big dogs are going to get most of the money. You got the middle tier, they get some, you know, good chunk, and the rest get the crumbs. I mean, that's pretty much going to eventually going to happen. And or your other options to start kicking, you know, schools out. And I don't think they want to kick any schools out, but they're going to say, hey, we don't want to kick you out, but you got to take less money. And maybe if your on-field performance is better and improves, maybe then we'll start giving you more money. But until then, this is what you get. So a lot of things out in play. Until then, college football still is what it is as it tries to navigate through the NIL and whatnot. Now, the women's games happened earlier this week, and I watched Iowa and LSU, and then I watched USC and UConn. You know, I thought LSU would win because they were just too deep of a team. I just felt Iowa was Caitlin Clark and whoever else, and it pretty much was, but Caitlin did have help in this game from some teammates. I mean, she did make some bad passes and bad decisions early in the game, especially in the first half. Second half, they cleaned it up. Angel Reese getting hurt may have had some effect as well. I mean, she stayed in the game and played hard. But overall, LSU just could not. They couldn't solve Caitlin Clark. You know, when you put up 40-plus points, all those numbers she put up, 40-plus points, you know, and if you get some sort of help, you're going to expect to win. UConn LSU, I'm sorry, UConn USC. That shows you how much of a casual I am with women's hoops. Juju Watkins is a hell of a player, but I think the difference in that game was the fact that Paige Buechers was, towards the end, she was cold. I mean, she was just knocking down her shots. And Juju, she put up numbers, but she was 9 of 25 from the field. I mean, she made less than half of her shots. And that was probably the big difference in that game. I mean, UConn was in foul trouble, you know, for most of that game. And they still won. I mean, you can't count out Gino Auriemma in the tournament because he's going to make you pay in some way. And that's the thing with Iowa. I mean, they got past LSU, but this wasn't, this is not over for them yet. I mean, they got to play UConn now, and then they're facing Gino Auriemma. And then if South Carolina beats NC State, they're going to get past Dawn Staley. I mean, that's a big mountain to climb, but I think I know Caitlin's place in college basketball has been debated. If she gets past Those two teams, heard placing women's college hoops will no longer be debated. You know, people say that it's with her. There's some small minority people that say that she's all, it's all stats. That's all it is. I don't know. All I know is she's made Iowa basketball a pretty good brand for college basketball at this point. I mean, I know much about Iowa women's hoops until she started playing. I'm sure a lot of people didn't. But if I'm LSU, though, I know Angel Reese is going to the WNBA, but I would recruit Juju Watkins to LSU. I mean, you get her and make a super team, you know, sky's the limit, but I don't see that happening. I mean, there's, in terms of star power, there hasn't been quite a whole lot of movement with women's hoops. Now, there was some stuff that happened. Some side stories. Well, the first side story is that LSU leaving the court before the national anthem or during whatever. They weren't out there for the anthem, but Iowa was. And according to Kim Mulkey, they've always done that. That's just part of their routine. They don't, you know, they're not out there. I mean, there's been talk about her politics, about how she's this, you know, Republican and blah, 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 MAGA, whatever. And she went after some people because of some article that was being published about her. And of course, she was being hailed as some sort of a folk hero because she was going after the fake, quote unquote, fake news or fake media who always try to, you know, create division and blah, blah, blah. Days later, now she's a horrible human being because she's not out for the anthem. And that's weird. You know, we've reached a point where we're now taking a roll call for who's out for the anthem. I mean, what are you going to do with these players? Are you going to suspend them? Are you going to fine them? Expel them? I mean, what? I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, according to Kim Mulkey, it's part of the routine. Even if the LSU players didn't want to be out for the anthem anyway, if that's what they decided, I'm sure Kim Mulkey was going to respect that regardless, mainly because she has a program to run. And if she starts, you know, doing some things, saying, you got to be out here or else, or I'm not playing you, they'll, you know, some of these players may just say, well, I'm just not going to play for LSU. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to pick and choose your battles, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm just saying that if it was, you know, at the end of the day, Kim Mulkey has a program to run. She has games. She's there to win games. Part of her routine isn't making sure people are outside for the anthem. If her routine is to get them in the locker room and get them prepared, and that's just how that is. And at the same time, UConn and USC, those women weren't out for the anthem either. For the longest time, it went with the Steeler games. The players were never out for the anthem. They always had some sort of recording artist from a, you know, country music recording artist sing the anthem, and then the players came out of the locker room and they were introduced. Oh well, it's done talking about that. And to wrap things up with the women's thing, I mean, I kind of knew what the press conference was going to be like for Angel Reese after the game was over. I think sometimes with athletes, and of course, not just athletes, but celebrities as well, even media people, they get too bought into their social media hype to a point where they feel that they become bigger than what they should be, and then when they fall hard. And yeah, I mean, Angel Reese is human. It's screwed up what she had to go, you know, if she was dealing with certain things, like, you know, being sexualized, you know, people being nasty towards her, you know, it's it can take its, I'm sure it can take its mental toll on you. But at the same time, after that game last year where she like was waving at Caitlin Clark with her hand and this and that, and there was people that got emotionally invested in the women's college hoops that really don't really have that much of interest in women's college hoops. You know, they got interested because of that. You know, they got bought in. They bought into it because of that. And that's what you have to deal with sometimes. It's not so much the people that are coming, that people are coming after her. It's the people rooting for her as well. I mean, I saw the behavior of some people on social media with some big followers, you know, what they were doing. And yet, and of course, when you have that, when you lose, there's going to be fallout. So you can't let that, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to know your worth, and you can't let shit like that defy you. But at the same time, if they would have won, I'm sure they'd have been trash talk. They would have been trash talking. But you know, that's what happened. I mean, that's just what happens. You know, if you win, you're gonna trash talk. You lose, people are gonna rub in your face. I mean, it's just you gotta just stay humble. Now let's get to the final thing here. This is non-sports related. Century 3 Mall is finally being torn down. It's funny because last week a friend of mine who works for a certain utility company mentioned to me that they were going to start tearing it down. And he, you know, I was told the parking areas were going first, which they are now. If you see some photos, that's coming down. The building itself is another story. I'm not sure. I know there's still power in that building. I mean, I'm sure they can just shut it off. But there's also an asbestos issue and a whole bunch of other shit. And the parking's coming down, but the buildings itself, I wouldn't be surprised if they're up for a little bit longer. If that stuff hasn't been addressed already. I mean, I did get kind of annoyed when I keep seeing pictures of Century 3 Mall, whether it's from Urban Explorers and this and that. And it's always the sob story about this. It's, you know, it's so sad that the mall is coming down. You know, it's so sad that, this was part of my childhood. This was part of this. It's just so sad that it's coming down. I mean, maybe if we would have shopped there, it wouldn't be coming down. I don't know. For me, it's one of those things where why are we feeling bad for something or about something when it's, you know, it's been closed for years and we didn't bother to patronize it. I mean, we get sad when certain things close and they close because maybe business is dwindling and it's, you know, well, maybe you should have shopped there or ate there. Or in some cases, if you're in Oakland, you know, rent keeps going up for some of these businesses and it's, you know, not worth it to keep, you know, running them if you're going to keep paying more in rent. You take what you have and you go. But I mean, it was a very, you know, prosperous mall for as long as it's been. I think I hung out there a lot in my high school years. When I graduated, I hung out there a little bit as well. You know, I think my first year of college, I hung out there a good bit. But after a while, you're just like, I'm a college kid now. Why the hell am I hanging out at a mall? Hanging out at malls is something you do in high school. That's kind of how I felt. And eventually, I would go to the mall, but a lot of times it was just for lunch. I'd go to Chick-fil-A or I'd go to Italian Village Pizza. Those were pretty much the only two places I'd go. Or Sakio, Japan. You know, but you know, a lot of people have told me about that mall And, you know, people say what led to its down, what exactly did it lead to its downfall? And it's always supposedly the bus route I always hear about. But there were so many other factors that led to that mall's demise. I mean, not just that mall, that whole area. I mean, it's not just the mall that went downhill. It's that whole shopping area. I mean, Century Square used to be a really prosperous area. I mean, you also had that one area with Home Depot, Circuit City, Kohl's, and John Eagle. I mean, Kohl's and John Eagle are still there. They're still running. They're still operating. But yeah, that whole area was once very prosperous. It just, you know, stuff goes downhill. I mean, you had that one other shopping area where you had, you know, Hills, which became Ames. Then you had Ladbrokes Meadows, and then you had Service Merchandise. I haven't been back in years, but Lord knows what's there now. I can tell you, I worked at that Meadows facility, and like they had this one really, really big area that they never used. It's like you had the bedding areas, but there's this one door you walked through. It was like their warehouse. It was this gigantic area, and they never did anything with it. They talked about putting a sports bar in there for years, and it just never happened. It was unutilized. But, I mean, it operated for as long as it did, and it closed. But Bob Evans is still there. Long John Silver's still there. I mean, that McDonald's, I think, and has been there for as long as I've been alive. Same with Red Lobster and Olive Garden and Chili's. I mean, there's Applebee's. I mean, I think, isn't Arby's Pan Express now, or did I talk about become Pan Express? I forget. Yeah, I forgot about that. Pan Express did come in there. I'm wondering if, I'll have to look that up on my maps. Okay, yeah, looks like that, let's see. Yep. Taco Bell's still there. AT&T store. Yep. Pan Express is there. I'm trying to think about what... Arby's is still there, too. I remember there was a AAA right by McDonald's. I'm wondering if that was the Pan Express. But, yeah, I mean, that whole area was... I mean, it's got stuff there. I mean, Dunham's is still there, surprisingly. I mean, Lowe's is there, Home Depot. Burlington's still there, and there's the Goodwill. I remember when Burlington was Heckinger's and Goodwill was Busy Beaver. And, of course, Lowe's and Home Depot came in and wiped them all out. But, you know, actually, Heckinger's died. Actually, Lowe's used to be Builder Square. And of course, you still got McDonald's, and you got Walmart, and Sam's Club still there. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's so much that happened to that mall that led to its demise. I mean, you had South Hills Village; people would go there. The waterfront, obviously, was a big hit because a lot of people are like. You know, the thing about that Century Mall was that what a lot of people told me is that it was such a pain in the ass to get to that area. Like, once you crossed the homestead, I mean, depending where you came from, I mean, there was no really straight shot to get there unless you lived in that area. I mean, if you lived in, you know, Jefferson, or if you lived in that Pleasant Hills, or you know, that part of West Mifflin by the airport, it was easy to get to. But if you live like at the other side of West Mifflin or Homestead or whatever, you pretty much had to go over the river and through the woods. And that's, I mean, I'm not joking either. I mean, going over the bridge, if you're, you know, over, you know, if you're out in Hazelwood, or, you know, pretty much through the woods. You know, because it's a lot of areas wooded. You're going through all these windy roads. You know, there was really no, you know, easy way to get there. And it was such a pain in the ass to drive through around Christmas. I mean, the high level, I mean, home, not the high level, but the waterfront is a little bit easier to get to. You have to deal with the trains here and there. But at least you know there's ways to get there. Although I probably would avoid going there if I still live there. But, you know, that's what a lot of people said. It was just to get to the area was a pain in the ass. And, of course, you know, there was some businesses there. There were some, you know, companies where a lot of guys would go to, you know, women, workers. They would go there for lunch or whatever. And, of course, when those people moved, you know, there goes a lot of your customer base. I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, there's so much that happened in that area that, you know, that led to that mall's demise. You know, people moving, other options to go shopping where you don't have to go to the mall. You know, it happens. But anyways, we're at the 36-minute mark. I got to finish up here. Hell to pick, guys. Have a great week.